But isn't this an awesome testimony of who we are about? Let me read this to you. Jesus is our message. People are our heart. Generosity is our privilege. I love that. Excellence is our spirit. Man, this is so hope. Excellence is our spirit. Servanthood, Tamara, isn't this hope? Servanthood is, servant leadership is our identity. Honor is our calling. Passion is our pursuit.
Yeah.
And smiling is our favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. We so she got reading me. She said, "Dad, isn't this awesome?" I said, "Excellent, it is." But we're going to add something to it. We're going to add in the bottom, and smiling is our favorite. So that's what we're going to have. And I don't know where. Well, Tamara will help us plan it somewhere. We'll put it somewhere. Also, we're going to have the pictures, the outdoor. We have boards. We're going to do that. Remember in the North Sanctuary, we had pictures of what the South Sanctuary was going to look like. Remember? And I'd go back there and say, we're gonna be there someday. So we're gonna do the same thing. We're gonna put those probably back here. I don't know where we're gonna put them, but probably right back there. So every day you can start seeing what we're gonna do. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember somebody helped me out with the Old Testament. Pastor George maybe helped me out with this Old Testament story, but there was some story and they put the spotted or the sheeps in front of the guy's face. Somebody remember this? Yeah, striped poles and regular poles and boom, in front of their face. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. So there's this power of seeing something in front of you. Remember, I'll tell you this story because I know a little better. Remember when Abraham, he was like by himself, he don't have any kids, and God brings him outside and says, "Look up, Abraham." We need to get it in front of our face. We are going to do it, and we are going to do it soon. And we're going to look at each other and say, "Whoa, that was awesome!" And we're going to be outside, and we got to thank God for Tamara and her vision that we would be outside in the shade. But we're going to get rid of all those silly tents, amen. Because we're not going to have to be in a silly tent. We're going to be under shade. It's going to be awesome. I just can't wait. But it's a blessing. But everybody say, smiling is my favorite. Want to talk to you today about smiling.
Yeah.
And I want to be honest with you and tell you what's really going on to people as they don't smile. See, I can tell you to smile. I can tell you smiling is my favorite. But what I really want to preach to you or teach you is how to have a smile inside. Because if you have a smile inside, then you're going to smile outside.
Amen.
People who don't smile, something's going on. Right? The expression of outside is manifest because of what's going on inside. Does this make sense? You know, if you buy a tube of toothpaste and it says Crest on it, you know what? You don't squeeze the toothpaste and all of a sudden you're brushing your teeth, you're like, "Wow, that's weird. They put Colgate, you know, toothpaste in the Crest container." How many know what comes out of the Crest container? Crow, this is deep, amen. Pastor, I love your preaching. You're so deep. You know, you're just going deep. I believe simple is deep. That's what I believe. I believe good communicators don't make things complicated. They make things clear. And so, you know what? What I want to tell you is, if you're not a smiling person, you know what? That something's going on inside which is communicating what's going on. You say, no, that's how I am. That's just how I am. Well, then I love you. Stop it. Because you're called to shine. The Bible says you're called to shine. I think we just read this. You're called to shine in a perverse generation. You know what? Perverse, evil, down. You look at the spirit. I'll talk to you about spirits. The spirit of God is a spirit that smiles. The spirit of God is a happy spirit. Now, I know there's preaching saying, no, happiness is... Sometimes people get so so silly. No. The joy is deep. Happy is shallow. Really? I don't know about all that. I just think we ought to be happy. Amen? Yes. You know what? I mean, my dictionary says happy is a synonym with joy. Amen? And I understand what they're saying. I get that. But all I'm saying is, you know, it's real clear when somebody's got that bowling shirt on, you know, the bowling shirt that they wear, and he's got a bowling bag, you know, and he's got bowling shoes on. You know what? It's pretty easy to say, you know what? That's a bowler. Does that make sense? What I'm saying is smiling needs to be your favorite. And we need to understand the importance of smiling. We need to understand the importance of having a spirit that's full of optimism and joy and peace and comfort. You show me somebody that's optimistic, somebody that's full of hope, somebody who's full of Jesus, I'll show you somebody who smiles a lot. I'll show you somebody who laughs a lot. You know what? I just heard of a study that came out recently, and they said this. They said that the average child smiles, laughs 150 times a day. Amen? The average adult smiles or laughs 3 times a day. You know what? Now, no way. Well, just look around and take note. Because you might think that that's no way, but I'm just telling you, look around. I believe that's totally believable. Totally believable. And what I want to say is I want to graciously encourage you today that maybe you're 10, and maybe you say, well, I smile more than that. I laugh more than that. Well, your day ought to be full of joy. And I want to teach you some things in the Word of God that I believe will be helpful to you. How many ready to learn some stuff? Everybody raise your hand. Say, smiling.
Smiling.
Here, I commission you now. Smile. Everybody raise your hand. Keep your hand. Go up and say, smiling.
Smiling
is my favorite.
My favorite.
All right, that's good. Now look at your neighbor. Say, smiling is my favorite.
Smiling is my favorite.
Okay, now do me a favor. When you look at them, say that. Smile, okay? Now you tell them smiling is my favorite. Smiling is my favorite. So I want to go over a couple of things real quick with you from the Word of God. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Amen? Why do you always say that? Because you remember more of what you write down. Number one, you have the power to be happy. You have the power to be happy. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You think the Spirit of God is strong enough to raise Jesus from the dead, but it's not strong enough for you to get away from the situations in your life that can be depressing? How many know there's some people out there there's some situations out there that are depressing? You know what? Just go. Oh my goodness. Just go through the drive-thru. Can I illustrate my sermon? Just go through the drive-thru, amen? The other day I went through the drive-thru, you know what? And she said, can I help you? I was like, yes, I would like, yada ba 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 yada ba ba. And she's like, oh, may I help you? I'm like, I would like a, you know what, whatever it is, whatever I said. And then she was like, I was like, okay, I want a bean burrito with extra cheese and no onions. She's like, oh, you want a supreme taco? I was like, lady, are you listening to me? You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like just waiting, you know, just waiting there. Because you know what? They multitask these people. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, do this and do that and do that and take care of all this. Blah, 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 blah. And you know, you're just like, they're not even paying attention. Why am I talking to this box? Nobody's even paying attention to me. Sometimes I feel like just letting everybody go. You know what I mean? Waiting, like, hey, lady, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here until everybody is served because I want you to focus on me. Okay, am I the only one? All I'm saying is, you're like, huh, you're smiling at me. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, what? Yeah, that's right. It's just me. Okay, but anyway, all I'm saying is there's purpose there's reason in our life. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a world and there's all this negativity and you know what? And you're part of it. Which is my first point. You have the power to be happy. Here, let me tell you why you think you don't have the power to be happy. Because you have come up with this equation. Here's the equation that you come up with. The reason why I'm not happy is because I have to deal with these crazy, incompetent people. So, Pastor, this doesn't seem to be I thought this was going to be a positive message, okay? It is positive. I'm positive that there's incompetency out there. This is not right. You can act like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm no Christian right now. I'm just getting real with somebody. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is absolutely true? Okay. But here's the problem. The problem is that you have said, because here's what we do. We've made an excuse for our bad attitudes. See, I'm here to tell you, you have no excuse. I don't care how incompetent they are at Taco Bell. You need to smile at them at Taco Bell. You know what? We need to make a big sign. Taco Bell needs Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Home Depot needs Jesus. You know what? You know, Comcast Cable needs Jesus. What's the company we're dealing with now, right now? Spectrum needs Jesus. I mean, I'm just telling you. And here's what happens. When you act like them, when you allow their bad attitude to affect you, when they are sarcastic toward, they should be serving you. But when they're sarcastic with you, and then you give them back more sarcasm, how many know you're not shining Jesus at them? Let me show you, Pastor. We just got done reading this. You know what? It's so good. Actually, not this one. We'll get to the one we just got done reading in a little bit. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it's right up here on the screen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I love this because look what Paul writes. He says, but I want you to know. Now, when Paul says, I want you to know, this is deep. Can I tell you what? Here's what he's saying. I want you to know. He understands to some degree that this is not just a letter, you know what, to a group of people, but this is a letter to a group of people. And he wants, the churches at Philippi to understand this, but he also wants us to understand this. So he says, I want you to know, brethren, he's talking to Christians, that the things that happened to me have actually, everybody say actually.
Actually.
They've actually, let's do that. Do that with a kind of like a bending your knee. Have actually, did you catch that? Have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Can I tell you what's going on? He's been thrown in jail. He's been imprisoned. He has chains. He has chains. How many know jails back then are not like jails today? How many know the toilet system was different back then? How many know they probably didn't have any Febreze back then? So, Pastor, that's gross. No. I want you to understand, you don't know about that. You know why you don't know about that? Because he doesn't mention it to you. What do you think he had for lunch? I can't even imagine what he had. Probably bread and water was it. At best. You think there weren't, what do you think? You think they had Joe the Bug Man who came by every month and sprayed for the, I'm telling you, it was, I'm sure, so gross. But you don't know anything about that. You know why you don't know anything about that? Here's why. Because smiling was his favorite. Because he's got the attitude. Can I tell you about Paul? Paul was so awesome. And Paul, he says, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. Paul was a great example to us in that, you know what he had? even when he went through persecution, even when he went through all this stuff, you know what he did? He identified when he got persecuted. You know what he would do? How would he do it? He would have these realities in his mind. Here's what he did. When he went through any trouble, any persecution, anything negative, you know what he did? He'd say, I'm like Jesus. He would identify any persecution with Christ going to the cross. That's what he'd do over and over again. He'd be, man, I'm like Jesus. Jesus got to go to the cross. I get to go to the cross. Jesus got to suffer. I get to suffer. That was his mentality. So anything negative, instead of putting it in a negative category, watch this, he put it in a positive category. Do you see this? Read it. We've been reading it in 2 Corinthians. That's what he does. He identifies any suffering that he has to do. And his suffering was like, whoa! You know, we're like, man, you know, we get upset if we're in traffic for 15 extra minutes. Like, oh, I'm hate this. Oh, you know, time out. You know what? And then we get to work and we're not an example to people. They don't look at us. You know, listen, when we walk into a room, people should go, whoa. Yeah. Amen. We gotta go, whoa, Jesus just walked in. Isn't that what Christians mean? Little Christ? People imitators of Christ? Aren't we followers of Christ? Following of Christ doesn't mean we're like following him. It means that we are his disciples. We are following in his action, in his attitude. Christ went to the cross and he was like, man, it is what he came to this earth to serve us. And Paul's like, man, when I go through something, it's like, you know what? Right? I'm in chains. That's his mentality. Can I show it to you? Look what he says. It's like, you know what? So that has become evident to the whole guard and all the rest that my chains, keep it here, are in Christ. What's he saying there? He's saying there's all these people that are taking care of me, that are they're guards and they're people in charge and they've arrested me and they see me. And you know what they see? They see that I'm here because I'm committed to Jesus Christ. I won't back down. Jesus died on the cross. He's my Savior. My life is His. His life is mine. He will save your life. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You need to give your life to Him. Don't you know the power that I have? He's like Jesus. What power you got? In this book, you know what he says later on in this letter? He says, what you going to do? What you going to do? You going to kill me? Ooh. He's like, ooh, I'm scared. Ooh, you're going to kill me. And then I get to be with Jesus face to face. Ooh, you scare me. Isn't that what he says? Let me interpret. He says, to live is Christ, to die is what you going to do? You won't kill me? What's he saying? He's saying, you ain't so bad. But watch this. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let me tell you what this is about. This is all about all his actions are pointed towards Jesus. And what's happening is now he's influencing all these people that are working as part of the government, and he's influencing them, and a bunch of them are getting saved or getting about to get saved. Do you read about the smell? Do you read about, you know what, the chain? The chains are so tight. It's rubbing against my skin. Look, I got a rash. Look, that's because of the chain. Do you read any of that? See, you know what? That's our calling. Our calling is this calling. Our calling is let me tell you your calling. Smiling is your favorite. Amen. Amen. And it's not about just some superficial. It's about, watch this, it's about smiling is my favorite. It's about a heart smile that would manifest in a smile smile. Amen? Look at your neighbor and smile at him. And say, smiling is my favorite. Smiling is my favorite. You understand? Not superficial. This real. See, you don't know about anything except, you know, except what he's telling you about, and he is not complaining. The Bible says, do everything without complaining. Everything. Let no what corrupt word proceed out of you, but that which is edifying for the ear. No corrupt means rotten. Next verse, look what he says. So this, and most of the brethren, he's like, let me do, whoa, I'm not going to tell you one thing, I'm going to tell you two things. All these people are being influenced, and they're saying I won't back down, and now it's gone viral. Yeah. Right? There's no internet, but it's gone viral. Now, let me tell you what's happening. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, what are they doing? They're saying Paul's not backing down. How many know when somebody will lead, it can cause you to be confident? Yeah. Yeah. Can we make sure the air is on? I'm hot. I'm a little hot. I'm just getting on fire for Christ. Dang it. Okay, so watch this. So here's what's happening. He is an example, and what it's doing is it's what's the word, Mickey? Emboldening? It's making other people more confident. Right? That's what it's doing. It's making them more confident because they're seeing, you know, wait a minute. That's a leader, and look at how he's acting. I want to act like that. And what's Paul doing? Paul's saying, you ain't so bad. You ain't gonna. And then all these other people are like, now look at, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Yeah. It's like, oh, I better watch out. I better watch out. I might be thrown in prison. And I might. And then they see their leader thrown in prison. They're like, man, you know what you're gonna do? You gonna throw me in jail for preaching Christ? No, I'm gonna preach Christ. Go ahead, throw me in jail. See, they're bold about this. What's Paul doing? Paul's, and you know nothing about all the complaining. You know why you know nothing about it? Because he won't do it. Number one, please understand, you have the power to be happy today. You have the power to be happy. Well, why? Well, Pastor, why aren't I happy? Here's why. Because you have equated. You have been fed a lie. Here's the lie that you've been fed. As soon as my wife starts acting like this, then I'm going to be happy. As soon as my husband acts like this, then I'm going to be happy. As soon as my kids start doing like this, I'm going to be happy. As soon as, you know, my boss starts changing, then I'm going to be happy. Let me tell you why. You've justified, I love you guys, you've justified your bad behavior. And you have no, and I'm just telling you, and you know what you've done? I wrote this down. You've set yourself up. I hope I can find this somewhere. I wrote it down so good. You have set yourself up. A mentality that says, as soon as the situations in my life change, then I'll be happy, is a recipe for, you know what it's a recipe for? Misery. You will live a life of misery. And in your mind, you'll never be empowered to change it because you have handed your power to everybody else. And let me tell you about the world. The world ain't changing. I mean, you can change people in the world, but there will always be negativity in the world. Jesus faced it. You're going to face it. Jesus prophesied, said, you're going to be persecuted too. But you're never going to get over it because you keep on thinking, no, it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. I'm here to tell you, smiling needs to be your favorite. And it can't be your favorite until you get over this mentality that says, you know what, they got it. You know, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. No, your attitude is your choice. You choose your attitude. And you have to go, listen to me, and you have to go into this preemptive. What does that mean? It means you have to plan for it. You have to wake up in the morning and make a decision that when the person at Taco Bell, I went to Taco Bell one time, you know what? I just wanted to give my wife a taco. She wanted a taco. She wanted it with tomatoes. She wanted it with the tomatoes, and she wanted the nacho cheese. Have you had the ones with the nacho cheese, the taco shells, the nacho cheese? I mean, you know what? I don't know how good it is, but it tastes the bomb. You know what I mean? It's really good. You know what? So I order it. They mess it up. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. You know what? Then they mess it up again. Cool, cool, cool. I went in to make it straight, and then they mess it up a third time, and they want to charge me 50 cents more. So, Pastor, what you do? I lost it. You know what I mean? I fully lost it. I'm like, man, let me tell you what. You know what? No, seriously. I decided that I would become that person's trainer in customer service. You know, I'm going to listen. Let me tell you what. Not only did you mess up my order three times, but then you think you're going to pay 50 cents more? I'm going to pay 50 cents more when I shouldn't even pay 50. You know what you should be doing, lady? You should be giving this to me for free with an apology because I wasted 35 minutes just to get a taco. I said, Pastor, were you upset? I was so upset. I'm so upset. Pastor, what were you driving? Church van. Church van that says on it at that point in time, said, reaching our world with the explosive power of God's word and his love one at a time. Amen. Not that day. I wasn't reaching nobody one at a time. It was explosive. That's true. There was some explosiveness in there. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you don't go into it with a preconceived, if you don't prepare yourself, you know what Paul writes in Philippians? Go there, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. If you're taking notes, my second point is this. People give their joy away. People give your joy away. You wake up in the morning, Father, and pray. You know what? I love what the Bible says, and we would teach this in level 2. The Bible says to be, the New King James says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you what the Greek says? I'm not gonna quote the Greek, but I'll tell you what it should be translated in English. The Greek says it like this. Be filling or be continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek actually reads something like this, be filling with the Holy Spirit. So they don't translate it like that because it wouldn't make sense. And so, what does that mean? It means that these Greek verbs are very precise, that we don't have that precision in English. So it's this continuing process. And you see that in the Greek, you can't see it in the English. And so it's a real poor translation because it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, inclining that that's a one-time shot. But the Greek actually says, yeah, did you catch that? The Greek actually says be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we need to wake up in the morning. That's why the Bible says put on garments of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. It says, take off garments. What does it say? Take off, thank you, the old man. Why? Because there's these tendencies that we have. A tendency that we get so busy that we're just like, oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. I don't have time for God. No, you have to have time for God. Jesus needed God. Jesus needed to be directed by God. I don't care if at least wake up 10 minutes early and get on your knees in the morning and say, God, I need help. Help me, God. I need help today. And allow and be filling. Be filled. Holy Spirit, fill me. Because I'm about to go to Taco Bell today. And I cannot be a bad witness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm going to go to In-N-Out, and I'm going to go, actually, In-N-Out, they do a pretty good job, amen? Yeah, but they got it pretty simple, you know what I mean? You want a one, two, or three, amen? Pretty simple, amen? But I'm going to go to places, and there's this Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, there's this ability we have to be filled of joy, and then we have ability to not be filled with joy. Look what Philippians says. Finally, brethren, and again, you know, Paul writes this. Guess where? Here, just take a wild guess. Guess where he is when he wrote this? In prison. Paul's like, oh, Paul's life is like a life, you know, like you'd read the Gospels and you'd think, man, he had a good life. Did you actually read what he went through? He had opportunities to complain every day. No, we complain because, you know what? You know, the other day I went to Starbucks. You know what? What do you want? All I wanted was a caramel frappuccino. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't understand how Starbucks can't have caramel. It just blows my mind. You know what I mean? Did you lose it there? No. Praise God. I did a little better that one. You know what I mean? Although, to be honest with you, my wife helped me. You know what I mean? She's like, Drew, you're in the church, man. Amen? Amen? Okay. But here's what I'm saying. We've got to go into this preemptive. You don't act all grumpy because you're bad people. You act all, can I tell you why you act grumpy? Because they act grumpy to you. And you respond to them. And your response is so quick. And you have to be preemptive. Can I show it to you in the Word? Yeah. Paul says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write you the same things is not tedious. Listen, I'm telling you, he said this before. Let me say it to you. Be filled with joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, but they gave me the wrong taco. See, that's the problem. You're not to rejoice because you're eating a good taco. This might not seem very spiritual, but this is really spiritual. That is the problem. Rejoice in the Lord. Our joy is to come from the Lord. If our joy comes from the Lord, then it doesn't make any difference how many times they mess up our taco. If we understand our responsibility, that they would see this and that we would shine in a perverse, that's what Paul says, shine, that you should shine in a perverse generation. I mean, people ought to be sweet. Amen. And I'm not saying because... I'm not saying that they don't have problems, but I'm not saying that it's a perfect example, but I do remember that when we went to North Carolina one time for a conference, and it was impressive. You know what was impressive? That when we would go into a restaurant, there would be this sincerity of friendliness. Yeah. Tamara, remember that? What is that? Let me tell you what it is. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold that they have, developed. You know, strongholds can be negative. Strongholds can be positive. And they have put a brick upon 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 a brick for generations. And so you go into a restaurant and they're like, hey, how you doing today? They treat you like your cousin treats you. Actually, some of your cousins don't treat you well, but... It's a bad example, but anyway, you understand, there's a strong, and it was noticeable. What I'm saying is, you've got to, and in your life, maybe you have gotten used to maybe it's a stronghold, and you've gotten used to kind of this negativity, and the same thing as a negative, you're like, dude, that's just how I am. Well, stop it. You're not called to be that way. Paul's in a prison, and all you know about his prison is two things. He's happy because he's being an influence of people in the prison, and he's happy because the word has gotten out and he's influencing people outside of the prison. Amen. Are you catching this? Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He told them this before. For me to write you the same things. I told you all this. I already told you this. It's not tedious. For you, it's safe. It is safe for me to tell you this morning, stop being grumpy. Stop having an attitude. And what it is, it's not, you know, I just don't smile that much. No. It's not about that. Please call it what it is. What it is you're not meditating on that which is right. If nothing went good in your life for the rest of your life, smiling needs to be your favorite. And let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ died for you. You're in his family and you're going to live with him forever.
Amen.
I mean that. If all you did was just focus on that all day, yeah, but it's hot in my office. Yeah, but it's I love the reality because you can do this all day long. I got a flat. Yeah, praise God, but you got a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Amen. You know what? Tyler called me the other day. I want a flat. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh. You know what? What'd you praise God for? I praise God because he was right. He got the flight. He got the flight near the. He got the flat near the. Who? No. Yeah, that too. Amen. A lot of praise God. No, by the. Dean Anthony. You know what? Listen, he got a flat. D's helping him change the tire. Praise God. So did he change the tire? No. No, when I got the car, you go, this is such a funny story. When I got the car reupholstered, the people did a great job. It was beautiful. Great job, amen? Pastor George, I got to show it to you. Beautiful job. Beautiful. Yeah, they did such a beautiful job that they upholstered over the flat tire. The spare tire. He goes, where's the spare tire? Where's it? Oh, it's there. Yeah, it was there underneath the carpet somewhere that nobody could even get to. Well, Pastor, what'd you rejoice in? You know what I rejoiced in? As I was out there, I was rejoicing in the fact that Dee and Anthony, you know what, and their sons were gracious to us, that we had friends that were gracious enough to be out there helping us find a spare that we were never going to find.
Yeah.
Amen? But Pastor, isn't that a bummer? Well, it all depends how you look at it. See, you have no excuse. You have given your excuse to reasons why not you cannot smile. And let me just tell you what, that is a recipe for misery. Because I'm telling you what, they're going to jack up your car too. Amen? And I'm not saying that we don't have favor. We have such favor. We walk in God's favor all the time. Supernatural things happen to us all the time. But you know what? Listen, but if you never see it, this is deep. But if you never see it, you'll never see it. And all these blessings are coming. They're right in front of you. Here, I'll give you a good thing to be happy about. Be happy that you have a church. Amen? How many, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you live in Pico Rivera. If you live in Pico Rivera, raise your hand. If you live 5 miles within the church, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Even if you live in Pico Rivera, raise your hand. If you live 10 miles within the church, raise your hand. Okay? No. I mean, that would include if you live 5 miles or less. That would include if you live in Pico Rivera. So everybody who lives in Pico Rivera or 10 miles out, raise your hand. See? Man, is that an awesome thing? Man, you didn't even have to spend very much money for gas to get here. And can I tell you what? And you go to one of the most outstanding churches. Wait, you don't know what I'm gonna say yet. And you go to one of the most outstanding churches in the nation. Amen. You say, Pastor, who said that? I just did. Amen. I'm not saying it was a survey. I'm just saying that's what I think. Amen. But you do go to an awesome church. See, all I'm saying is there's all kinds of reason to praise God. And Paul says in this next verse, and I'll wrap it up real quick, but Paul says in this next verse, are you glad you came today? Look at your neighbor and say, smiling is my favorite. Okay, now say it with a smile again. Say, smiling is my favorite. Okay, say I've got to change my heart. When your heart smiles, your face is going to smile. Amen? Look what he says right after. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice. And then he says this, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. I said, Pastor, beware of dogs. What is he talking about? Well, how many know there's an attitude of complaining out there? It's an attitude that permeates the world. It's an attitude of, when I worked in the grocery store, I would just get ticked off of the, you know what? Sometimes, this is a true story. Sometimes I wanted to go up to these tellers that were complaining. You know what? They had these baskets. Can I talk to somebody? They had these baskets, these little baskets. You're supposed to take the basket and get your groceries there. They would put the basket up on the thing, okay? And this checker that's in air conditioned, they get two breaks if they work an 8-hour shift, a 1-hour lunch. You know what? They're making good money with benefits in air conditioning. You know what? And all that. You know what? And guess what? You know what? They'd tell the customer. You know what? Can just snotty. You know what? Can you put the items up on the counter and take the basket and put it under the counter? I'm like, I would lady, they are the customer. You know why they do that? Because they didn't want to reach in the basket and get the items out of the basket. Well, what did you do? Oh, I'd just take the basket and dump it out. You know what I mean? I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that. All I'm saying is, guys, you know what? There's this attitude of snottiness, grumpiness. Listen, it's a spirit. And it's not a spirit of God. And it permeates out there. But what happens, we've got to be aware of these dogs. Because you know what happens? Those dogs infect us. They bite us, and now we're acting like the dog. Amen? They're like, arr, and they bite us. And then we're like, instead of like, oh, you know what? Instead of being kind to everyone, we're like, you bite me, I'll bite you back. That's the mentality. You know what? I'll tell you what, you do this to me, I'm going to show you. And you weren't aware that was a dog. And now you're acting like a dog. Now you've gone down in the mud and you're slopping the mud all over just with them. And they're like, arr! And you take that chew toy. You're like, arr! You take that chew toy on the other side. You're like, arr! And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Can I tell you the truth? Listen, people who don't love Christ, they're not walking with the love of Christ. They could be embittered and they could be angry and they could be all this stuff. But we're not to be like them. We're to be different than them. Don't grab that chew toy. Don't start. Be aware of those dogs. Pastor, they're dogs. No. That's the wrong attitude. We need to be gracious to them. We need to be loving to them. We need to have that heart. Sweetie?
Just a couple of clarifications. First of all, Dee was not being a blessing changing our tire. God help you and Tyler and Anthony if Dee was the one changing the tire. No, but she was right there helping, you know what, watch over my kiddos, and she was offering nachos to everybody for to come to her home and all kinds of things because we were close to their house. But it was Anthony and Tyler and Joshua all messing with the tire. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, let me just clarify, because he does not mean this. You know what? When I say to him, like the other day when we were at Starbucks and they didn't have the caramel, first thing I said to him, I said, we're in the van. But that's, you know what I mean? But I'm not saying, it doesn't matter if we're in the van or not in the van. You know what I'm saying? And that it's not okay to act like an unbeliever, so long as you don't have a Jesus bumper on your sticker, or so long as you don't have your Bible in your hand. No. That's not the message, so don't get that message, because that's just a quick way for me to quickly snap him back, you know what I mean, to hold on, because he does not do well when service is not there. There's something in him that just doesn't do well with that. So we're working on it, and he, believe it or not, he's doing much, much better. He has a day here or there. That was that was over 3 years ago, I think, the last one. So that's good. When we lived in San Gabriel, he literally was running from the popo out of the post office one day. You know what? Yes, he had a whole hissy fit. This is not, well, this is funny. Here, this will help you smile. He missed the cop cars by that much because they had called the police on him. Excuse me, we're on my time right now.
Listen, she tells a true story. I just lost it. And I called my wife. I was like, honey, what should I do? I think they're calling the cops on me. She said, true story. She said, Drew, get out of there.
It's true. It's all true. They would continue. Listen, No. We're going to keep them here all day. What?
Remember when the firemen, I almost got him. Okay.
Oh. Like I said, it's been, that taco thing was the last one I remember, and that was at least a couple years ago. So, but we could go back in the archives, and I could entertain you all day. So we won't do that. It'll encourage you. Yeah, this is doable no matter where you're at. Okay, so that Philippians scripture, throw that back up there for a second. I think it was Philippians 3:1 that Pastor had. When that comes up there, look at this. Rejoice in the Lord. If I had a red marker, I'd just circle that. If I had that technology, watch that. You know what? No matter what happens, here's really what is happening. When we get like that, whatever the situation is, and every one of us has been guilty of it somewhere, when we get like that, when life gets to us instead of us bringing life into dark places and death situations, you know what, that are going on, when that happens, it's because truly we have missed out on a truth that is ours. And here's what the Bible tells us, that nothing can separate us from the Lord, right? So no matter how bad it is, you know what we can always do? Listen, whatever we're going through, he's with us in it. Did he not tell us that? You know what? No matter how bad it gets, what's the worst? We see this in the Apostle Paul. Look at how the Apostle Paul thinks, and he went through some stuff. But death, where is your sting? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Can we put me in prison? It's okay. You know what I mean? You'll see not just the Apostle Paul, but you'll see where they're singing in prison. They get done being beaten, and they get up, and they begin to rejoice in the things of God. See, because no matter how bad it is, nothing can take the best thing that we've ever had. The best thing we ever had is the day that we asked Jesus to be our Lord. When he became ours and we became his. If you have that, you have nothing to not rejoice about. That's what it really comes down to. But how grateful are we for that truth? How constant is that truth on our mind? See, because it's a lack of gratitude that causes us to get caught in these carnal snares. That's what's happening to us. You know what? Someone is snippy with us and we get snippy back. Something goes wrong and we react to whatever just happened. But if we're ever mindful of this truth, then we don't get so easily snared in these things. And we're able to bring Christ into that situation rather than that situation taking Christ from us. Because that's what ends up happening in our behavior. So look at God and look at how God looks at this. This really, really will help you if we begin to see it, if we begin to have like a paradigm shift of how we see it, then we'll catch, I won't even have to help him catch himself. He'll catch himself. I don't have to say we're in the van, watch it. You know what I mean? it is kind of crazy that they don't have caramel and they're selling caramel frappuccinos. I mean, it happens a lot. It's amazing how much it happens. It is a little frustrating, but it's certainly not worth a moment, right? We can laugh at it if we want to. We can smile at it. And that's the next thing he did. He just smiled. And they said, what else can we get you? Nothing. He said, thank you. He doesn't drink a lot. That's really about the only thing besides the hot cocoa that he'll even have over there. So when they didn't have that, it's like, he just doesn't want it. But look at what the Lord did here in Numbers. Okay. Look at how the Lord sees us. Now, he's talking about the Israelites. Remember Joshua and Caleb, and we're kind of, so the Israelites are in the wilderness, right? And God's telling them they're all going to go into the promised land. And they take 10, not just 10, let me just put it this way, not just 10 little toddlers. No, they get 10 of the leaders. And they send the 10 leaders to go check out the promised land that God said they're going in. And of the 10, you know what? Two of them come back with a good report, and the rest of them have a bad report. The rest of them are saying, 12, okay, 12. 12, yeah, the math didn't go there. Thank you. So 10 and 2, only two of them have a good report. And two of them are very cognizant that God is what God has done and what God can do. The rest of them are pretending like they have no idea what God can do, and they're certainly not remembering what he's done. And because they don't get that, what do? Watch this. They murmur and complain. They just yap. And that murmuring and complaining ends up being, look at how God sees it. See, that's what we do in all kinds of situations. Whether they're explosive, or this is real important, or whether we're just thinking them. See, he can't just not act like that when he's in the church van. I mean, that's fake. That's hypocritical. You know what? He's got to get that in his heart that he acts correct no matter what, right? That's what we need to do. So this says, look what God says here in it's Numbers 14:11. The Lord said to Moses, how will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have performed for them? I got to go backwards the way I have it on my phone. Sorry. And then Numbers starting at 14:22. I'm just giving you clips of insights for time. Numbers 14:22, just a little further down. He says, not one of those who saw my glory and my signs that I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and they tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land that I promised an oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land and his descendants will inherit it. See, we mess ourselves up big time. When we, what was their crime? I mean, a lot ties into it, but if you looked, it was murmuring and complaining. And murmuring and complaining is just an outside symptom of what's going on in your heart. So if you're murmuring and complaining, that's telling you something about your heart that you need to be working on, amen? So that you can go into your promised land, whatever that is. You want a peaceful home? You know what? Pay attention to that murmuring and complaining so that you can get there. You know what? You want a good marriage? Pay attention to that murmuring and complaining so you can get there. You want a promotion on your job? You want a new job? You want a blessing? Pay attention to that murmuring and complaining so you can get there. Because somewhere we're missing it with God. And he sees it as contempt against him. See, we don't understand who our God is and what he can do. And we're obviously not relying on him and trusting him. Right. Or we wouldn't be, see, That's what happens. So Joshua, and it's interesting because when Joshua and Caleb end up going, you know what Joshua tells them as they're going in, don't anyone even make a sound. That's not an accident. What kept everyone out the first time? Their running mouths. They're murmuring and they're complaining. So when it's time to go, one of the first things their leader at this time now, who is Joshua, says, shh, nothing, not even a sound. Isn't that cool? We need this, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. We got it. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Praise the Lord. We need to figure out little things to help ourselves. Amen. We got people around us. And really, you know what's the best thing to do is to, if you're hearing this and your heart is just impacted, you know what? You need to tell your spouse, your sibling, your mom, whoever, you know what? Hey, help me. If you hear me doing that, just tell me. Come up with your own deal. Hey, that's your old man. Hey, that's not. We used to have, Pastor preached a sermon one time about whatever comes out of our mouth should be 8 or above. You can just say, hey, that's not an 8. And really, you know what I've learned? You know what? First of all, it's a very good thing for you to ask someone to speak into your life and correct you. And for you, it's a huge help if you sincerely want to get over on something, to have that pointed out, because many times we're so in a rut that we don't even know we're doing it. But then I've also learned it's a lot of carnality flying around at the time that it's happening. And so when someone tries to correct you, you're not on your best game at that exact moment. So it's really good to have a plan where it's short and sweet, okay? Where you just say, that's not an 8, and then get moving. You know what I mean? That's your old man, and get moving. And then leave that person there, you know what I mean? You can do it because they've asked you to speak into their life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So if you really want it, ask whoever is around you to help you. Yeah. And then when they help you, bite your tongue. Uh-oh. Amen? Because your flesh is going to want to go, but don't do that. You know what I mean? Just recognize you asked them, and they're doing it because they love you. Amen? Yeah.